Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is the Marquette Upset Edition. And yes, I'm upset that Marquette won. And yes, Marquette upset the Illini. This is Mike Kegley here, Illini guy. I'm talking with Kedrick Prince, Director of Recruiting. We just saw a game where the Illini struggled mightily with an unbelievable number of turnovers in the game. 26. That goes back to, gosh, you know, 2017, maybe, when they last had a game with more turnovers than that. And then we also ran into a situation where there were a boatload of fouls and a team that was down by 12 points and playing full court defense manages to shoot 15 more free throws than the team that was in the lead. That's a little bit mystifying, but I'm going to say something, and this is going to sound like sour grapes, but you know, it is what it is. But this is why I watch Illini basketball, and I tend to default to the NBA, because the NBA's got their own issues with refs. And certainly if you're a star, you get the calls that other players don't get. But the reality of the situation is, if Michael Jordan and I were standing next to each other on a basketball court, we would know that he's not going to get any fouls. And I might have three in the warmups before the game starts, because you know how the refs are going to call it. And you typically don't see this type of game where the Illini had their own issues with turnovers, and then it was compounded by you can't turn over the ball and then allow the other team to stand at the free throw line with the clock not moving and score at the line like that. Anybody who's ever coached basketball knows how frustrating that is. So, Ked, you were the one guy who came out on the Illini guys board today, and you predicted that this was going to be a tough game. And you actually predicted, I believe, a 1-point Marquette victory. So what was in your mind what did you see? And then for those fans that are out there, Kedrick also runs and has coached and run a program and coached AAU basketball for years. So you're not going to run into anybody who knows much more about basketball than Kedrick does. But Kedrick, what did you see, or what were you concerned about that caused you to kind of call this shot, so to speak?
Well, Mike, thanks for having me again. Unfortunately, you know, this was a tough loss, and I'm not here to toot my horn. I'm excited. I've been around for a long time. You know, I coached high school basketball as well. You know, I've been, you know, for a year I coached college basketball. I'm just obsessed with the game. And I mean, I don't just watch the game to look at the scores. I don't watch the game for pure entertainment. To me, it's about X's and O's and matchups and seeing things that people can or can't do. You know, obviously, I wanted to see Illinois win this game today. You know, and I think on our message board today, people, you know, were kind of upset with me because they thought I was trying to fire the message board up and be sarcastic. Here was my concerns. And the fact that they went on the road without Isle, he is gone. The only guy on that roster, to me, the only guy on that entire roster, 1 through 14 or 15, that has had any kind of toughness, late game experience, is Trent Frazier. Not Jacob Granister, not Demonte Williams. Trent was that guy when he had to have the ball in his hands, you know, when they were struggling, who had to get his. No one else has done that. As good as Corbello has been, you know, playing with Io, he was awful. And anybody who can sit here and want to sugarcoat it, I'm not going to. I knew going into this today, they hadn't shot the ball well as a team. You know, and people were trying to make all these excuses. Well, the other team didn't do this. When you're missing open looks, they're open looks. It doesn't matter if you're playing a junior high team or a kindergarten team or an NBA team. You got to make shots. The turnovers, the unforced turnovers, they were a concern for me because I saw them happening against teams who are not Power 5 schools. And then you compound that with going on the road with a guy, with a point guard who was used to having Io around. Trent, I'm excited because, and this is no disrespect to Io, I don't want anybody calling me out on it, Trent has deferred to Ayo for a very, very long time, so it's nice to see him become aggressive to put the ball in his hands again. What I would have liked to see at the end of the game, from a coaching standpoint, I don't care who was bad, who'd be upset, who's unhappy. The ball should have been in Trent's hand. Yes, I saw the turnover at the end of the game. The ball's in Trent's hand the last 6-7 minutes of the game. It might not be that way. You live to fight another day. You get the ball in his hands, and then you teach Curbelo, this is what you don't do. This is time and clock. You don't dribble through two people when you have a one-point lead hoping to make a home run pass. Those are teaching moments to me that I think Illinois could have done and should do. And I love the fact that Coach Underwood is a player's coach. I think that is awesome. But today was a game, and it's not a good loss to me. Today's a bad loss because you're the 10th best team in the country. I know Kofi wasn't there, you know, ladies and gentlemen, but you had a 12-point lead and you still lost it. And you could have won it. You have the players to win a game like that, and you still lost it. They have a lot to prove to a lot of people, not just to Kedrick, but to themselves and the coaches.
Yeah, no, those are all fair comments. Couple things that were going on that I think Bello's got to figure out a little bit. One is you have to depend on your teammates. You know, this isn't fourth grade basketball in an upward tournament or AYBT where the guy who's the quickest and biggest can just go get whatever points he needs. And in this opportunity, I thought there were plenty of chances where he could go ahead and look for the open man. Another thing that I thought is interesting is, you know, with Kofi Coburn, the bigs can't go across to help. So there's many times when Bello gets past his defender, the big guy hesitates because he doesn't want to leave Kofi. And that hesitation allows Bello to get that little teardrop layup in over the top. And it allows him to maybe get some layups with less of aggression on defense. Tonight, these guys weren't afraid of any of Illinois' bigs, whether it was Payne, whether it was Hawkins, or even Bosman Verdonk. And they came over at him hard. And once they blocked you two or three times, you got to say that you got to think to yourself, either this guy's coming and I got to get the ball over to the center, or I need to back the ball out and we need to reset this. And I thought that lack of recognition of what was going on really hurt him because he kept trying to do the same thing over and over. And again, as a coach, you know, one of the things, and I don't know what the staff is telling him, they obviously are much better coaches than I would ever think of being, but you would like to think that they were telling him, you know, you got to watch for this. The other thing is if Bello's going to make a pass to these guys, it has to be a catchable pass. It can't be where a guy's got to, you know, make a miraculous play where he reaches backwards, you know, with his left hand while he's moving forward towards his right and somehow grabs the ball, doesn't travel and makes a shot. That just doesn't happen. So if he knows the defender's coming, you know, make the solid pass and make the defender pay for it. And maybe the next time you drive, you'll have that extra half step and you can do your layup that he's so good at. I don't know. Maybe I'm oversimplifying it, Ked. What do you think?
No, and I'm going to tell you what, you started that segue with the best phrase of the night so far. Trust your teammates. I'm telling you, Trent was on fire. Find a way to get him the ball. Find a way to get Jacob Granison the ball. Find a way to get Coleman Hawkins a shot. Trust your teammates. It was so obvious at the end of the game, Mike, he was going to be the guy shooting the basketball. It didn't matter if there were six guys on him and there's only five on the court or three. He was shooting the ball. And you got to be able, as a point guard to me, you have to be able to recognize things like that, I guess. I'm not blaming the entire game on him. But the ball was in his hands. And anybody who can sit and you know anything about basketball, he hurt them tonight. And it's too bad because maybe this part he can learn from. You know what? All the Billings and everything that you've heard and everything that we've seen, he hasn't really done it. So now maybe this is a gut check time for him to say, hey, this is what I need to do. Now, I don't know if that's going to happen because he beats by his own drum. As good as he is, and he has the talent, we've all seen it before, but it's got to be upstairs. His decision-making late in games or during the games, I just wasn't a fan of. And I know what you're talking about with having Kofi around, throwing the lobs up to him. I personally think, you know, I thought Omar Payne, this was his best game. He was engaged tonight. He's not, you know, you and I talked about it off air. You have to throw lob ducks to him. He's not like Kofi where you can throw the ball behind his back or he has to go get it. It's a little bit different for him, and they're different players. I think it took a half for Coleman Hawkins to adjust to the size and speed. Everybody was concerned about that. I love Jacob Granderson. He's solid. People were complaining about Damonte Williams. No, he didn't score a point, but he had 11 rebounds. You know, so they have enough scores. They just have to figure out how to get shots, who should get shots, and when they should get them. I guess I should ask you this because a lot of people were questioning why no timeout at the end. And I don't know. I didn't hear Coach Underwood say. Some coaches call timeout. Some don't. Given the situation and how much Curbelo struggled, it would have been an automatic timeout for me. Nobody would have got a shot other than Coleman Hawkins, Jacob Granderson, or Trent Frazier in that last second. It just wouldn't have happened. Nobody else would have gotten it unless you're wide open for a layup.
I totally get that. And you know, again, I thought Damonte had quite a game. You know, he took the ball down through the lane a few times, wasn't looking to score. I would certainly like to see some action to get him a few shots out in the 3-point area. We're also joined here, folks, by Illini insider Brad Sturdy, who probably just had an excellent time watching this game. But we want to, Brad, we were just talking about some of the challenges that Curbelo had down the stretch. And one of the things I guess that we came up with, you know, trust your teammates a little bit more. And then the other thing that we were just kind of talking about is, you know, maybe there was something that could have been done to try to run something a little different so that the ball wasn't always in his hands, so that he felt that pressure. It seemed to be mounting each possession for him. And he's putting it on himself that he had to do something. And I don't know, that seemed to cause him some struggles. What were you seeing from your vantage point?
Well, you look at this and the biggest thing was, so he tried to make plays. I mean, he's been watching Io DeSumo the last couple of years, and you watch Io making plays at the end of a game. The difference is he's not Io DeSumo. He has to make plays differently. And he had openings. What makes Curbelo special is his ability to pass the basketball. But instead of passing the basketball, he wanted to shoot the basketball tonight. And you know, when you look at that, you know, he took, what, 19 shots or something like that? I mean, you can't take that many. I mean, your point guard's taking that many shots. I mean, it'd be different if he's taking layups. I get it. Or 18 shots. He's 4 of 18 from the floor, though.
Be different if he was hitting 16.
I mean, I'm not saying, you know, he does a good job. He goes, wow. I mean, it just, you can't do that. And so I just think he got caught up in the moment, trying to make plays, trying to do too much, and it really backfired. I mean, there were so many guys. I just broke it down on our message board. I just went through every possession and what they ran down the stretch on every play. Broke down every play, what it was, wing ball screen, ball reversal, ball screen, you know, dribble weave into a ball screen. And the reality is Illinois is a tremendous ball screen team. That's the best part of their offense is running Curbelo. Usually you have Kofi. That makes a difference. But there were guys wide open all around the floor. When you look at their guys, there were guys wide open, spotted up, ready to shoot. There were guys on the last play of the game. Had he not turned it over, Jacob Granderson had just cut back door. Had he not turned it over, and he has a layup or a dunk. Coleman Hawkins slid to the top. He's wide open for a spot up three. Damonte had slid to the corner, and basically Trent and Damonte had a 2-on-1 because they were protecting the paint. And so you had guys open. And that's what he's supposed to do, is find open guys and make those plays. Now, the last possession isn't where Illinois lost this game. It was throughout the entire thing. They just were, it was terrible down the stretch. And, you know, you scored 1 point in the final 5:36. Now, the one thing I'll say about this, I thought Marquette got some gift calls on the with some fouls.
Yep.
Illinois, I mean, the Illinois defense showed up. And again, you know, at the end of the day, you know, you're going to get back the first team All-American. Excuse it. I mean, you know, we look forward to it. This was a game, Mark, I'm not trying to be mean here. I'm not trying to diminish Illinois or diminish this, but Marquette is not very good. Marquette is not a good basketball team.
Right.
That is a bad loss. I don't care what you say about it. People can say this and that, and they should have won or should have lost. It's road game. No, Marquette is not a good basketball team. Illinois is still a tremendous defensive team. I love that, but you know they lost a team that is very has two players, a team that you know they scored. SIU Edwardsville scored 77 points against Marquette. New Hampshire scored 70, and Illinois scored 66. So I mean that's it in a nutshell. They held them to fewer points than they've scored all year, but they lost because they could not score. And that's not good enough against a team that's just not that good.
When yeah. you turn the ball over, that doesn't help. I mean, those are scoring opportunities. Sorry, Mike, they just are. And when you turn over, when you don't give a team a chance down the stretch, it is. It's just inexcusable. And I guess we can beat a horse. We can beat this, you know, up until we're blue in the face. They have to make some changes. And you're right. I know from a talent standpoint, Illinois is better. I don't want to be that guy to complain about the officiating. I don't. But there were some calls that were, I mean, there was two that I thought were just awful. I know they both teams got a warning. You know, Mike, we talked about this for delay of game, and then Marquette does it again, and then the ref says play on. Coleman has a rebound, and for whatever reason, whatever Shaka Smart wanted to call, he called it. They got it. Coleman dribbled the ball down the court two times, and then the whistle blew. And I know he's had a rough start with his technical fouls, but I can understand why the kid was frustrated. That hurt them tonight. I mean, they can say that it didn't. Should they have won, you get a 12-point lead, you still should have won the game.
Yeah, it's hard to argue the point that we should have won the game. But, you know, ultimately, I tend to look at these losses – I am definitely not the bracketologist that Brad is or Larry or UKED. So I tend to look at these games as now it's a matter of what the staff can teach this group to learn from this, because this was the epitome of a Big Ten game. You're going to get crappy calls because college refs suck. Sorry, folks, but that's just how I feel. That's why I'm more of an NBA guy. And these are the type of calls you get where you're going to get, I mean, you know, again, up by 12 points, the other team is playing pressure defense. You're not. And they shoot 15 more free throws than you in the second half. So, you know, once you see this thing happening, you have to be more careful with the ball. And you got to minimize what you can control, because you can't control the calls. And then at that point, that's when Illinois, to me, the combination of the turnovers and then some of the mysterious whistles, you know, you have to limit the turnovers. And Illinois just couldn't do that when they needed to down the stretch. Anything, Brad, as you look at this, you know, we've kind of talked about, we got Kofi coming back. Obviously, it would have been nice to have Austin Hutcherson out there. You know, maybe he could have been a nice change of pace up on top with the ball. Any word on how he's feeling after, you know, from a physical standpoint that we can share with anybody? Is there anything you know on that in that front?
He did some workouts tonight. He looked good. He shot the crap out of it in pregame. You got to be ready to play. You saw how physical this game is.
Yep.
I mean, when a game like this, I mean, you got to be 100%. You can't be banged up. You can't have, you know, not be able to do things. So I feel you know, I feel, you know, I feel bad for the kid, you know, because it's going to, you know, you play games like this. He can't be out there right now in a game like this and take the beating that he's going to take in his, you know, tailbone, pelvis, whatever, you know, whatever you want to,
yeah,
whatever is from that thing. And so, you know, he's not ready to do that. So maybe like, you know, next week if they're playing a game, he can get some time. But I, you know, playing a game where they get a lead. But, you know, the thing is, you know, it's fine. But at the same time, you know, Illinois, there's no, you know, we can do say what we want. I think teams are going to do this to Bello. They're going to make him a scorer. They don't want him spraying the ball around. And the problem is he's listening to them saying he's not a scorer.
Right.
And it's gotten his head. And he's just got to – they got to get his mind right. His mind's not right. And I think once they figure that part out, he'll be fine. And you know, you're going to – you know, Trent, I thought, played well. He does a good job. He runs the things. But they have to do a better job of – you know, they have to use when guys are open. You know, I thought Coleman finished strong, hit a rough start, but I thought he played well. You know, Alfonso Plummer just, you know, non-existent for much of the game. I mean, so, you know, they just didn't get much out of their bench. We talk about their depth, and it just goes to show you that Underwood still doesn't trust a lot of these guys. Yep. He doesn't have trust. And I thought Benjamin Bosman's Redonk showed himself to be a good third-string big man tonight. And Omar Payne showed himself to be a good second string big man, but they're not there. You know, they're not ready to be the one guy. And you know, so that's where they're at. I think Illinois, I'm not saying they're not gonna, they could be good at the end, but they're definitely not ready to go right now. And they're not the team, you know, I know that they haven't had a lot of practice time, that, you know, Trent missed time, Bello missed a week, 10 days. So they haven't had a ton of practice time. They just played Friday for the first time with all these guys. And now they're playing a team that was – but you know what the other thing I thought, Mike? We were soft. Illinois was soft. They got pushed, bumped, ball tipped away. They got hit on the arms. They kind of – I mean, they were soft. They were whiny. They were soft. They didn't play strong. And you got to play strong when you're playing against that team, because that's one thing. You know, Illinois looked just soft in this game. And that's a little bit – that's probably my biggest disappointment. Yeah, Bello's going to – he's going to make good plays and win you games, but they were soft, and you have to be tougher than that.
I'll push back a little bit on that because, I mean, they out-rebounded that team by 20 tonight. Where I thought they were soft, I was disappointed in the fact – like I said, some of the times we got shots blocked, I was a little surprised. I did think Coleman Hawkins pulled it together because he had a rough – like you said, he had a rough beginning of the game, and yet he still ended up 13-8. I thought he did rebound well. He had 8 rebounds. But I thought he rebounded from a bad start to kind of play a little better. The biggest frustration I had is down the stretch. Again, and I know Bello's a talented player, but for all the love that Daryl Morcel got from the announcing crew on what a fantastic game he was playing, Trent Frazier had 23 points with 6.5 minutes to go. And then he only got the ball 2 more times the rest of the game for a shot. You know, to me, that was the first thing, is get Trent the ball. And then the other thing is Jacob Grandison had some shots. And then and occasionally, I think guys actually, usually you want to attack the basket, but they had some open threes that they passed up to dribble into traffic, and then they got a turnover, and that was frustrating from my standpoint. It's like, I don't care if you have a wide open shot, just shoot the dang thing. And it seemed like we were a little bit hesitant to pull the trigger on the shot tonight.
Right, but why? Why were they hesitant? Because they're soft. Because they're used to be taking that shot all the time. It was mentally being afraid to take the shot. They were afraid to make a play because they were afraid they were going to miss. So instead of taking the shot, they were going to put it on the floor. We're going to throw it back. And, you know, for all of his things, the one thing about Bello, he made a ton of mistakes, but he was willing to shoot.
Yes, you're right there.
Yep.
I mean, and so some of those guys, you have to take that shot. If it's, you know, Jacob Grandison passing up a wide open three, he's got to shoot that ball.
Yep, I agree.
Instead of driving and getting the shot clock violation. And because the way Illinois has been rebounding, if you think about that, they rebounded so well. They got all those offensive rebounds. Illinois had 26 turnovers.
Yeah.
I mean, and still dominated the glass. there's no rebounds coming on turnovers. So you can't get offensive rebounds on turnovers. So, you know, that's really that just tells you, I mean, had they sometimes it's best instead of turning it over, get it up on the rim, take the shot, you know, and I think that's where, you know, that's really failed.
Ked, any thoughts from your standpoint on what Brad and I were talking about?
Yeah, I mean, as frustrated as I was with Carmelo tonight, I mean, this is me because I'm an aggressive guy. How do I say this? I know why he was shooting them, and I understand it. I just wish it was Trent tonight, I guess, because Trent's that guy. Like I said before, Brad was, you know, before he got on, Trent's been in the trenches, and he's been, you know, through the wars where he was the focal point of everybody's offense. You know, at one point he was 11 for 13 from the field, I think, or something like that. So to me, I would have found him and I would have put the ball in and let him try to create down the stretch because he still would have got rid of the basketball, I think. And like Brad mentioned earlier, I mean, we all talked about this and, you know, we think we're geniuses, but there were guys that were open. And sometimes guys don't want to take the shot either. Take a special person to do that. But what Andre Carmelo needs to understand, he is not a 25-point-a-game scorer. It's just, I mean, it's not who he is. If he wants to be that guy to take the next level, it's going to be 13, 15 points and 8 or 9 assists. I mean, he had 8 rebounds. I give him credit for that. But, again, there's just silly mistakes and stuff that I guess you want from your point guard. You don't expect that. I know the team and I know some of the guys and I know how hard this is for them to swallow. It is a bad loss. I don't care if you know, Marquette's bad or not. You're a top 10 team in the country. You got to act like it. They're just not going to give you anything. There's a target on your back, and people are going to want to bring it to you every single game. And if you're not going to step up to the plate, then you're not going to be a top 25 team. You're not going to be where you need to be. Iowa is not coming back. And they need to learn and they need to accept that. He was a big part of the offense because last year, I guarantee it, he would have got a shot off. And we all know what happens when he had the ball late game situation.
Yeah.
Well, now you have to execute. And I don't tell you what, that's not going to be Kofi. Kofi's not going to go get the ball at the top of the key and create his own shot. So, you know, and if he plays, yes, I guarantee it, you win because some of those lobs and some of those extra rebounds that they've already had. And the missed layups, those are points for him. Because Kofi's going to get you a double-double every night. So, yes, things that they lost, and I know the fans are bitter, and, you know, I hope Coach Underwood figures this out. But for me, and I'll close it with this, I don't care who it is. Most people – I tell you what, I had two high school basketball coaches call me tonight, two high school coaches, and they all said to me, Carmelo would have been sitting next to them, or he would have been told to give the ball to Trent. So this isn't just Kedrick thinking he knows what he's talking about, the ball would have been out of his hands. It just would have. And yes, again, I know Trent got blindsided at the end of the game, but don't put this on the situation. The last 4 or 5 minutes, Trent would have had it.
Brad, what are your final thoughts here on this surprising upset, except for Ked, who predicted it?
Told you, Brad.
Well, the one thing I'll say, yeah, you got it right. I mean, you got it right, but, you know, The sad part is, I mean, it shouldn't have been a loss. I mean, there's no excuse for losing this game because they're not very good. You know, and I hate to say that, and I hate to be that way, but they are not a good team. I don't think Marquette's an NCAA tournament team at the end of the year, although this win may help them. But here's what I'll say. And we wanted to use Trent, and you know, I've heard this from a lot of people, saying this, but I'll tell you what, if you go read what I broke down the last – 8 minutes possession. Illinois ran a ton of actions with Frazier that in the last 4 or 5 minutes. They had him used him at 3:04 to play. Frazier at point guard. Ball screen roll replaced. Grandison's replaced. He kicked it to ends up in Bellows' hands and he turns it over. Then they ran Frazier Hawkins after a weave into a Frazier Hawkins ball screen. And it ends up with Bellows' hands because nothing came out of it. So Bello is forced into the shot clock. Then Frazier, Grandison, pick and pop. Frazier, Grandy misses the open three. Next time, Frazier's got point guard again. Frazier lost the ball out top. Bello got it, picks it up, drives, loses it, kick out. Frazier ends up with the open three off the crazy stuff. So there were like five possessions in a row. They actually did have Trent handle the ball, and none of them amounted to anything, you know, good. So it wasn't. So when we, I want to, you know, we're blaming Bello, we're blaming this, that. It's that's a position that isn't, that wasn't good. I mean, regardless of what you put there, Trent got his points off of, you know, the catch and shoots and things like that, or taking it out front or taking the threes off the bounce. Well, they took that away and they make him a driver.
Yep.
And, you know, because he took 15 shots tonight and 10 of them were from behind the arc. You know, he's 7 of 15, 10 of 6 of 10 from three. So, you know, he's going to pull up. So once you take that away, now he's got to be able to drive. And Illinois couldn't put the ball on the floor and get by their guys. And that's at the end of the day. You got to be able to do that, and I maybe it's the spacing that Kofi provides too will help. You know, the fact that you can't leave him, I think that may help a little bit. But you know, at the end of the day, you know, you got to find ways to win.
Yeah, and that's I guess where ultimately, if I'm going to put this loss at anybody's feet, I think you end up, the head coach ends up owning it. And I just, the one thing I didn't like is that, you know, there were so many plays where Bello brings the ball up. And again, you could almost physically see him getting this. You could almost see him getting wound up where you're like, oh God, in 20, you know, in X amount of seconds, he's going to be shooting the ball. And, you know, at some point I would have liked to have seen something to take the pressure off of him, even if it's only for a possession or two, you know. And we were joking before you got on, you know, I might have even run a Coleman Hawkins, have him bring the ball up and let Payne bring the big guy up and do a pick there and maybe see if you can get something on the backside for Granderson or Frazier, something to make it so that, you know, Curbelo gets a little bit of the pressure released, you know. But again, I'm not a coach, and there's a reason why I don't get paid. So that probably would have been just a tragic failure of phenomenal proportions. But I do think I would have liked to have seen, even maybe you have to use a timeout, you know, an extra timeout and try to calm him down. But again, Bello, the other thing Bello's got to own a little bit is, you know, he's letting people get in his head by calling him not a shooter. He's deciding he's going to correct the referee on every call. And he's just got to play the game of basketball and make this a little less complicated for himself.
I'd agree with that.
Yep.
But that's easy for the old guy who's sitting at home polishing off a barbecue chicken sandwich with some little Porgy's barbecue sauce that I got last time I was in Champaign. So it's easy for me to critique that as I'm sitting here watching TV and I'm not the guy who's out there on the court who's competing. So we'll take it with a grain of salt. Any other last minute comments from you two gentlemen?
I want to see growth. I want to see Cabela's play, what, 3 out of 4 or 2 out of 3 games, including an exhibition. I don't want to see 8 or 9 turnovers every game. That needs to change. That's what I want to see probably more than anything, you know. And he had some tough shots that went in and came out. I'm sorry, yeah. You know what? It is what it is. I have to say that. But clean the game up. The behind-the-back passes with 1 second on the clock, you put your shooter in a tough situation. Clean that stuff up. There's a time and place for all of it. And at the end of the shot clock, I didn't think that was right. That's my biggest – I guess if I had any gripe, I want to see improvement there.
Okay. Brad?
Yeah, so, you know, just to put this loss in perspective, Illinois is ranked 5 in KenPom. The Marquette is 88. So when you're talking about the differential between that, currently it would be the worst loss since, well, actually that one's worse, or that one's not as bad. So, I mean, I'm back in 2013. And I have it 2013 when Illinois lost at home to Northwestern under John Gross's first year. Illinois was ranked 39th in KenPom and Northwestern was 132nd. That's the worst loss since that time. So This is a bad loss, guys. This is a bad loss. There's no other way to put it.
Yeah. So when you get a bad loss, you get dumped on your ass. You got to figure out what you're going to do to get back up. And so now this is where we see the measure of the coaching staff and we see the measure of the team. How are they going to respond to this? And what are they going to do, you know, going forward? That's really what we want to see. I have a lot of faith in the staff. I have a lot of faith in the players, but they do have to improve. And that's really where it comes out. So folks, this has been the Illini, or Eye on the Illini Marquette Upset Edition with three upset people here. And I will tell you that if you want all the latest on Illini sports, you got to go to IlliniGuys.com. Whether you live in Champaign or Chicago, halfway across the country or halfway across the world, the best way to stay in the know on Illini sports is IlliniGuys.com. Also, check out your weekly your radio dial on the weekend for the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. If you go to the radio area of our website on the top ribbon on there, you can see all the stations that carry it and what times they are carried. If you live in Illinois, you can get that radio program. If you don't live in Illinois, Saturday afternoons, we release a podcast that will actually have the radio program once it's been broadcast on all 25 of our stations. You'll be able to listen to it there on the podcast. Please be listening to that one. And of course, when it comes down to it, if you're a member, you go onto the message boards, you get some of the inside information before it becomes public information. That's why you go to IlliniGuys.com. Thank you very much, everyone. I'm going to have to make a couple of little Porgy's sliders to help me eat my way out of this depression. And while I do that, I hope you're listening to this, enjoying yourself. Thank you very much.